There are times when we can work so hard that we actually feel pain. This is not a pleasant way to begin a radio broadcast, but it brings me to today's sermon topic, painful toil. Using Genesis chapter 3, 17 through 19, Brother David Johnson will speak on this today. You are listening to the Words of Life program, brought to you by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who pray and donate so that you can listen. We thank God for all of His blessings, and we now praise Him with song.
Hail Jesus, you're my King.
Hail Jesus, you're my King.
Your life frees me to sing.
Your life frees me to sing.
I will praise you all my days.
I will praise you all my days.
You're perfect in all your ways.
You're perfect in all your ways.
Hail Jesus, you're my Lord.
Hail Jesus, you're my Lord.
Hail, hail, Lion of Judah,
how powerful you are.
Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, how wonderful you are.
How wonderful you are.
How wonderful you are.
Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land, a home within the wilderness, a rest upon the way. From the take, O cross, thy shadow for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of His face. Content to let the world go by, to know no gain nor loss. My sinful self, my only shame, my glory, all the cross.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, it is our blessing to simply be able to bow before you in prayer through Jesus. This privilege has been given to us by the power of your love for man and not because we deserve it. Please bless this program and all other gospel efforts. Our listeners stand in need of your help for daily concerns and spiritual blessings, so we ask that you will be with them. Persecuted Christians in many locations need your protection and help for their effectiveness. And we thank you for their faith and their faithfulness. And Lord, when Jesus comes for his church, please help us to be ready to meet him. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now tell us about painful toil based upon Genesis 3:17-19.
It's a privilege to be able to share the Word of God with all of our listeners, and we are hopeful that it will be beneficial to all of our listeners, not only in our minds or in your minds, but in your hearts and wills as speaker and listener alike. The title for the lesson today is Painful Toil, and our text is taken from Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Please listen to the Word of God. To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. I will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." This is the Word of God. Probably the greatest criticism against the existence of God, and by extension against Christianity, is, if God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and so very good, all of which are true, then why is there so much pain and suffering in this world? The argument goes that if God is so powerful, knowing, and so good, why can't he eliminate, or at least greatly decrease, pain and suffering, especially to Christians or so-called good people? It's either that he's not that powerful, knowing, or good, or worse, that God doesn't care. Many claim suffering and pain prove God just doesn't exist, and Christianity is just a delusion, a crutch for so many. As Bible-believing Christians, we believe the Genesis account of creation by an all-powerful, all-knowing, and good, perfectly good God that does care about his creation, especially human beings. In the beginning, according to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. So in the beginning, earth and all of its inhabitants enjoyed a perfect paradise in complete harmony, with no pain or suffering of any kind. However, Adam and Eve were given free will by God. They chose to disobey and sin in rebellion to God's one solitary prohibition to test their obedience and love for their Creator. Adam and Eve sinned. Many would ask, if God is all-knowing, why did he give Adam and Eve a free will choice, knowing that they would fail the test? Because if God had not given them a free will choice, then they would not have genuinely proven their obedience and love for their Creator God. And love, according to Scripture, is the greatest virtue of all. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. However, is love without a choice really verified as true love? So because God is also equally absolutely holy as he is loving, Their disobedience, their disloyalty had to be punished. Paradise and perfection of life was lost, and painful toil began in its place. God punished Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17 and following says in part, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." Well, many would say, that was Adam and Eve. Why does painful toil have to be our situation today? Because all human beings also sin, and often are disloyal to their Creator. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Notice it doesn't say fell short, past tense, but fall short, that is, continually fall short of the glory of God. But why has God imposed such a harsh, ongoing punishment on the whole world? For originally one act of disobedience, for just one sin. Because as God is continuously loving, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16, God equally is continuously just. So Adam and Eve and all their descendants had to be punished and are being punished. Moreover, all continue to sin and cannot in themselves or ourselves remedy the sin problem. God has not been caught unawares, and had before the creation of the universe the remedy, the antidote for sin, which we will explain later in this lesson. So first and foremost, pain and suffering are our lot because the world is fallen, and we are all fallen individually and deserve God's justice against us. A creator can do as he wills with his creation, just as we can create a painting, a poem, or a mechanical device. And if we're not pleased with it, we can discard it or even destroy it as creator. However, God, in his grace, has not discarded or destroyed his creation. He did and does have a remedy. There are many other reasons for our world being saturated with pain and suffering. Let's consider some other reasons, but which are all derived from sin in the beginning. These are just some examples revealed in Scripture pertaining to why even Christians suffer. Consider 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, that says in part, "There was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore, sometimes God allows torment, a thorn of some type, to afflict us without removing it. The cause can be to teach us more humility and dependence on God, as it was the case with the Apostle Paul. That even in our sufferings, we may grow in spiritual maturity as God gives us the strength to endure it." Let's also consider another possibility as to especially why Christians suffer. Consider in the New Testament, in the book, in the epistle written to the Hebrews, chapter 12, beginning in verse 7, which says, "Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. how much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. That is God's discipline. Obviously, God does discipline, chasten, correct us, rebuke us when we need it, not just for punishment, but for our ultimate good, just as we must discipline and chasten our children for their good. Hardships of many kinds sometimes come our way to point us back to right living. God's intention is for training in righteousness, for repentance of known unconfessed sin, or our secret sin that He does see and know. God is perfect, and therefore His discipline of us is perfect and always for our spiritual good. Those who are wise will willingly receive the Lord's chastening and learn from it, not become bitter in it. Repentance brings not only renewed fellowship with God, but also the peace of God in our consciences again, which is of great gain, not loss. Consider 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7 for another example of why we may suffer in this life even as Christians, which says in part, "Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Just as with Adam and Eve given free will to prove their obedience, therefore love for their Creator, so likewise God's people are given free will to receive Christ by genuine faith and to persevere in that same faith. It's easy to be faithful to God in good times, but in suffering grief, in all kinds of trials, with ongoing faith verifies, validates the genuineness of persevering faith. A calm sea never made a skillful seaman. A rough sea endured brings skill and perseverance to a seaman. This is not about chastening. It's about confirming, not for God's sake, but for our own benefit, confirming our faith and perseverance in that saving faith. Yes, God knows if our faith is genuine or not, but by giving us free will, we do have a real choice to become unfaithful. And suffering and grief in all kinds of trials do separate many people from God. Many return to the world. Ours should be the mindset of God's blameless servant in Job chapter 23 and verse 10, which does say, "But He knows the way that I take. When He has tested me, I will come forth as gold." And our faith must be as gold, sometimes refined in fire. Consider the words of our esteemed brother Frank Mullins Sr., who once wrote, quote, "Sickness, sorrow, or sore trials are never welcome in our lives. They disable and handicap us till we are unable to meet the responsibilities of life. They burden us with grief and pain and even expense that for the moment seems impossible to bear. Notwithstanding, all of these such things can become instruments in the hand of God for our greatest good. We may not be able to see this in the midst of our suffering, but if we love God and are surrendered to His will for our life, we may know it is so. Note Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. God did not say, in all things good, but instead, in all things. That includes our present sickness, sorrow, trouble, or trial. We'll work together for good eventually. If you really love God and trust God, and if our lives are truly surrendered to Him, then the if, but, and maybe don't really matter because God is in control. Also consider in the Old Testament Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, that says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight," or will direct your paths, end quote. God's remedy for pain and suffering was in place before the creation of the universe. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight." This is only possible for those sinners who become saints. Not saints by Rome, but saints sanctified by the blood of Christ on the cross. For those who genuinely receive Him through faith to inherit perfected eternal life. So in the final analysis, there may not be a totally convincing answer as to why God allows so much pain and suffering in this world according to our finite minds. But instead of an adequate answer, we who are of the faith believe in the One who answers with an infinitely more than adequate remedy, Jesus Christ, the one and only unique Son of God, who Himself took on all the pain and suffering in our stead to reward us with eternal life. And one day, again, perfect paradise restored for those who are His by persevering faith. We should understand that in the very beginning, it was perfect paradise. We should also understand that in the eternal state, after God, through Jesus Christ, rules on this earth, and we are in the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem, it will again be perfect paradise. We are now in the messy middle between two perfect paradises, but it's not going to remain that way for the persevering believer. Painful toil will cease forever for God's people. So I must ask, have you received Jesus as your remedy, as your Redeemer, through repentant and obedient faith? Today can be your day of salvation, or today can be your day of rededication. Christ's pain and suffering makes this all possible. The perfect remedy, proving God's love and maintaining God's justice. Receive Him today. Receive Him in repentant faith, confessing Him before men as you are baptized, immersed into Christ Jesus, and persevering in your faith. The faith that we must have from first to last.
There's a land beyond the river that we call the sweet forever, and we only reach that shore by faith's decree.
one by one will gain the portals there to dwell with the immortals when they ring those golden bells for you and me.
You and me.
Don't you hear the bells are ringing? Don't you hear the angels singing? 'Tis the glory hallelujah jubilee.
Jubilee.
In that far off sweet forever, just beyond the shining river, when they ring those golden bells for you and me. We shall know no sin nor sorrow in that haven of tomorrow, when our bark shall sail beyond the silver sea. We shall only know the blessing of our Father's sweet caressing when they ring those golden bells for you and me. Don't you hear the bells a-ringing? Don't you hear the angels singing? 'Tis the glory hallelujah
jubilee.
In that far off sweet forever, just beyond the shining river, when they ring those golden bells for you and me.
We pray for you and your relationship with Jesus. If you are not a Christian, please understand that you must first really believe in Jesus, the Savior and the Son of God. The book of Acts shows us that believers repented of sin, confessed Jesus as Savior and Lord, and were baptized by immersion in water, symbolizing the new birth in Jesus. To receive a free recording of this program and last week's program as well, ask for 1950. That's 1950. Hearing from you encourages us. Thank you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.
Sing now.